Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we said last time that we're not going to try and do a prolonged study of the book of Jeremiah. There's way too much there, and our time is spread out at this time of year. But I would ask you to open your Bibles again to the book of Jeremiah, because there's more that we need to see. Jeremiah chapter 31. At the end of chapter 30, the Lord had promised that he would restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. Verse 22 of chapter 30. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Now in chapter 31, this is the reading of God's word. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survive the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. This is what the Lord says. Sing with joy for Jacob. Shout for the foremost of the nations. Make your praises heard and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I will bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father. And Ephraim is my firstborn son. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine and the oil, the young of the flocks and the herds. They will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priests with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, so there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. I have surely heard Ephraim's moaning. You disciplined me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. Restore me, and I will return, because you are the Lord my God. After I strayed, I repented. After I came to understand, I beat my breast. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth. Is not Ephraim my dear son, the child in whom I delight? Though I often speak against him, I still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I have great compassion for him, declares the Lord. Set up road signs. Put up guideposts. Take note of the highway, the road that you take. Return, O virgin Israel. Return to your towns. How long will you wander, O unfaithful daughter? The Lord will create a new thing on earth. A woman will surround a man. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. When I bring them back from captivity, the people in the land of Judah and in its towns will once again use these words. The Lord bless you, O righteous dwelling, O sacred mountain. People will live together in Judah and all its towns, farmers and those who move about with their flocks. I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. At this, I awoke and looked around. My sleep had been pleasant to me. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the offspring of men and of animals. Just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and to overthrow, destroy, and bring disaster, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days, people will no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone will die for his own sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel, because of all they have done, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when this city will be rebuilt for me, from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The measuring line will stretch from there straight to the hill of Gareb and then turn to Goa. The whole valley where dead bodies and ashes are thrown, and all the terraces out to the Kidron Valley on the east as far as the corner of the horse gate, will be holy to the Lord. The city will never again be uprooted or demolished. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Pastor Wood, that's a long chapter, and I think my mind may have wandered at some point as you were reading. What's the main point? Okay, the main point is that God promises not only to restore Israel to its land, but to change his relationship with the people so that instead of just being a group of people set apart for God, they will also, as individuals, all have a personal relationship with him. God not only promises to restore his people to the land, but he promises a new relationship with his people where they can know him personally. Got that? All right, now let's go through and look at this. First of all, this promise is spoken at a time when things are really bad in terms of circumstances. This is a promise about what God is going to do, and it is intended to be a tremendous comfort and encouragement to his people. But when is this going to happen? Well, in the future. Well, what about right now? Well, right now, you're in a tough situation. And the reason you're in that tough situation is because of not just your sins, but the sins of your ancestors. That's what was going on here. People were suffering as a consequence of God's wrath being poured out on a nation that had repeatedly, consistently refused to repent. And so now they're suffering, and in the midst of their suffering, they have heard some very discouraging words from God. God says, I'm casting them out of the land. They're going to be overrun by foreigners. They're going to be taken off as prisoners. It's really going to be bad. But in the midst of that, God keeps reminding his people, this isn't the end of the story. The suffering, the difficulty that you're going through is not the end of the story. Now, when he gives the promise, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give you a future and a hope, to prosper you. We grab onto that and make it a wall plaque. But that promise was a promise that after 70 years of exile, God would restore them to the land. I'm 62. So 70 years from now, let's see, I'll be 132, right? I have no ambition to live to 132. So if I get a promise from God that everything's going to get better starting in 70 years, I'm going to think, oh, that leaves me out. Unless I'm not just concerned about myself. I'm concerned about my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. And I'm able to rejoice in the fact that God has promised that the future generations can actually have it better than I have it. These folks who were given this word from God, we're in the midst of a really tough situation. And the promise was that the difficulties they were going through were not the final state of God's people. So if you feel like this is as good as it gets, and it may get worse, you're going to be discouraged. But if you realize there is a God who is in charge of all things, He is totally in control of this universe, and I am trusting in Him to do what is right, God have mercy on me. What does Ephraim say? You disciplined me like an unruly calf. This is verse 18. You disciplined me like an unruly calf, and I have been disciplined. Restore me, and I will return, because you are the Lord my God. After I strayed, I repented, and I came to understand. I beat my breast. I was ashamed and humiliated because I bore the disgrace of my youth. How many of you have ever done something stupid? Yeah. We've all done stupid things. How many of you have gotten in trouble for doing something stupid? Yeah, me too. What do you do when you get caught?
Well, I don't see what you're not perfect either. I don't see what you're talking about.
Let me tell you, when God disciplines us, we can't say that because God is perfect. And He has every right to discipline us. But the amazing thing is, Ephraim, repenting, finds God saying, though I often speak against him, I still remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I have great compassion on him, declares the Lord. I am so glad that God loves me, not based on my performance, but based on his compassion. That is such good news. And it's reflected in what comes later in the chapter when he talks about the nature of the new covenant. Turn over to verse 34, the second part of the verse. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That is the nature of the new covenant. The nature of the new covenant is that God forgives our sins and on that basis is able to have an intimate personal relationship with us. Look at the first part of the verse. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Folks, this is really good news. What this is saying is that despite the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in, despite the fact that we deserve to be punished because of our sins, God is choosing to have a new relationship with us based on grace. It's not based on what we've done. We earned it. It's based on His compassion, His mercy, His grace. And so God chooses to forgive our sins. We don't earn forgiveness. God chooses to forgive our sins and makes it possible for us to have a restored relationship with Him. Now, in the meantime, before we get there, before the new covenant is introduced, there's some really difficult things. These people in their generation went through great difficulty. 70 years later, when the exile ends and they come back into the land, there's still difficulty. There will be more difficulty because there's going to be more sin, and the new covenant isn't introduced at the end of the 70 years. It's promised, but it is not yet fulfilled. When do we find the new covenant coming into place? Does anybody remember that term from the New Testament? By the way, the New Testament, what we call the New Testament portion of the Bible, the word there is New Covenant. The New Testament is the New Covenant. And so in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And he explains to them for the first time what the Passover really is all about. When he takes the bread and he gives thanks and then he breaks it and says, "This is my body which is broken for you." And after the meal, he takes the cup and he gives thanks and he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This is the new covenant in my blood. This is it." You remember the promise? You remember what Jeremiah was told? God is promising a new basis of relationship with his people. This is how it happens. My blood. I have to die. Jesus is the one whose sacrifice makes it possible for us to be forgiven. All those Old Testament sacrifices could not take away man's guilt. They simply pointed to the sacrifice that would take away our guilt. But Jesus' death paid for the debt. It was paid in full. When he said on the cross, "Tetelestai," he said, "The debt is paid. It is finished." So now there's not something you have to do to pay the debt. There's not something you have to do to earn God's love. God has demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for sinners to save us. And that inaugurated the new covenant. Now, in the new covenant, it's possible for us not just to know about God and certain people to actually know him. It's possible for all of us to know him in a deeply personal way. That's what happens in the new covenant. That's what makes it so fabulous. That's why no matter what kind of circumstances we're going through, the fulfillment of the promise of the new covenant is not just that we get our land back, we get our buildings back, we get our health back. One day, all of that will be restored. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. It's all going to be grand. Pastor Wood, I think this is also talking about temporal blessings. It is talking about temporal blessings. But let me tell you, if that's what excites you, you do not understand the nature of the new covenant. Because the thrill, the amazing miracle of the new covenant is that through Christ Jesus, I can know God as my Father. If you're a part of the new covenant, if you are a part of real Christianity, the New Testament Christianity, then you know him. And that forms the basis of our relationship with each other. So, the Lord promises, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That is the promise, and God keeps his promises.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.